Hello, and welcome back to the Bottom Line Me podcast, where we like to spend some time talking about issues and challenges in the title insurance and real estate business. Our topic today is one that's close to my heart, professional coaching. Coaches can be a great resource or support person in many situations. And today, with so many of us working remotely, I think finding a coach can help us to lead our team, manage our time more effectively, guide us when we're faced with making decisions that are difficult, or simply seeking out direction or strategies that can help us balance our work and life responsibilities. Working with a coach offers an opportunity for us to gain new perspectives or solve problems. I think coaching can enhance our lives and also the lives of those around us. I'm your host, Ann Allard, and today I'm very excited to welcome executive coach, old friend, and former Old Republic Title colleague, Allison Garaffa, owner of Forefront Coaching. In Allison's practice, she likes to specialize in working with executive leaders and military spouses. Allison, welcome, and it's so great to see you.
Thanks, Anne, and thank you for having me. It's great to see you, too. I love that we're old friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's awesome.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, so I'm really excited to catch up with you and explore a variety of the topics that leaders and executives encounter every day. And hopefully we'll leave them with some suggestions on how they can move from what I like to call concern to action. But before we dive in, tell us a little bit about yourself and what led you to pursue your coaching career.
Yeah, it's a little story. We're going to go back in time. I started in the title insurance industry, believe it or not, 40 years ago this year. They say you're either born into the business or you fall into it. And I was definitely born into the title search company that my mom started that we later sold to Old Republic Title. And I've been blessed to work for and with just amazing people at Old Republic over those years. And then fast forward to around 2015. And I was really struggling. I felt like it was too early for a midlife crisis. I wasn't 50 yet, but I was struggling with what I wanted out of my career, work-life balance. And I was actually lucky enough to find a really great executive coach. We worked together for about a year. And then I said, you know what? I want to press pause. I want to think about all this and process. And by the spring of 2016, I decided it was time to press pause. So I could kind of eliminate the white noise and really figure out what was next. Around that time, had a lot of things happening in my personal life. Our youngest was graduating high school. My husband's military career was sort of at the full speed ahead, and he was traveling all over the globe. And I just wanted to be more present and intentional. It was an amazing year. I did discover what I wanted to do, and it was executive coaching. But I felt like the timing was off. Sometimes timing's everything. So right. I just continued to be present in that world that I was in and really immersed myself as a military spouse. And I joke about it because by that point, they call you senior spouse, which sounded awful. And then someone said, no, we're seasoned spouses. So I like that I was a seasoned military spouse. And I think all of that combined in the mixing bowl, the 40 years in the title insurance business, the 30 plus years as a military spouse really gave me that love for people, for helping people find what they want, what their goals are, helping them solve problems, and really being the best version of themselves. So last year, I took the plunge and started my executive coaching education, and then earlier this year earned my certification. As you mentioned, I have my two loves are my two areas of focus, the title industry and military spouses.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on taking the pause, stepping back, and then jumping back into the pool. That takes a lot of courage and, you know, I think lots of grit. So awesome. So Well, I've got an awful lot of questions that I wanted to pose to you today. But I think maybe one of the best places to start is what a lot of our customers and even our employees are dealing with. And that's just the fact that we're in what is called a down market. And there can be lots of challenges in that. So I think my first question to you is, in your experience, what are some of the most common challenges that you've seen leaders are facing in a down market?
Yeah, it's a great question, really timely given where we are now. And for some of us who've been in the business a while, it's not the first time. Yes, and it's not the first time we've seen it. You know, we've got right now interest rates, volatility in the real estate market, some of the changes being talked about on the policy side inside the Beltway in D.C. leads to uncertainty. And all of this really impacts the title insurance industry. So everybody's on edge, and a lot of folks are on edge. And I think for leaders, maintaining positivity, being able to motivate their teams, and continuing to work cohesively as a team are the big ones. And in coaching, we oftentimes ask questions. And so one of the questions I would ask here is, think about, you know, what is it that you want from your boss? Well, that's likely what your people, your team wants from you. And then I guess the only other thing I'd say is times like these lead to, you know, there's a lot of fear of the unknowns and what's right. going to happen. And fear-based decision-making is a really tough space to be in. Coaching can really help bring leaders out of that mindset so they can separate the emotions that they're feeling from the situational reality, and then determine their best course forward. I don't know if that's helpful.
Wow. I love the question. What do you want from your boss? I think that's if I come away with nothing else, that's a great one to keep in mind. But so how do you coach leaders to perhaps set boundaries between their, particularly in this kind of a market, between their personal life and their professional life? Sometimes you feel like you've got to be on 24/7 when people are, as you said, nervous, fearful, or just feeling uncertain about what's going on.
Yeah, and so much of this is really kind of learned over time, and sort of bumping up against those boundaries and realizing it's not working. I think it really starts with, you know, another question: what is it that you want in your personal life and in your professional life? And those things are really goals. So if your goal is to have dinner with your family every night or most nights, or to leave the office by 5:30, or to get a project done in, you know, by the end of the month, that's a goal. And so you're going to create a roadmap to achieve that goal, because they typically don't happen on their own. We sort of have to plot that course to get there. And then from there, once you know your goals, it's about being intentional with your time. And same deal, right? It doesn't just happen, and time is finite. So calendaring, blocking time, and then trying to hold firm to that plan. I mean, emergencies come up, there's fire drills. Oftentimes others think it's a fire drill, or even our first reaction is it's the fire drill, but is it? Would be the question. And then if it isn't, offer alternatives. So you might say, I'm not available right now, here's some times where I am. And then keep those compartments, try to keep them from spilling over. The other big thing is, you know, for me, I remember I checked my email 7 days a week, on the weekends, multiple times a day. Maybe you set a goal. I'm going to check it once during the weekend, or once a day during the weekend, or, you know, something like that. So there's ways to create those boundaries that will help with help leaders to kind of be able to have, I think what we're talking about really is that balance.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading an article one time about boundary busters, and that we all have them in our lives, and we really have to come up with strategies. But I love your suggestion that I'm not available right now, but here is an option or another alternative. So you're not basically shutting somebody down or saying, no, I can't help you. You're taking care of your own boundary and making sure that stays in place. But at the same time, you're there to support the people that you need to support. So I think that's a great way to sort of respond to that question that many of us are faced with, often several times a day. So one of the other things I'd like to talk a little bit about is self-awareness and emotional intelligence. Why do you think these are critical skills or components of leadership today? Because there's a lot of talk about it.
There is, right? Emotional intelligence is really a buzzword these days, yeah. Also known as emotional quotient or EQ. We hear that a lot. And EQ, emotional intelligence, and self-awareness go hand in hand. And it comes naturally for some of us, but not for others. For others of us, it's a learned skill. Sometimes it's a blend of both. We've got a little bit of natural ability, and we need to learn. We need to learn more as well. But I think EQ helps create a positive work culture. It helps with efficiency, with productivity, with morale. And the most important thing, sort of that holy grail, is building trust. I think EQ helps us understand ourselves better, helps us understand others, and all the emotions in between. And that then leads to being able to communicate more effectively, to have more empathy, to better deal with conflict, to overcome challenges like the market that we're in. And really, it all boils down to EQ is really about caring about other people, asking how they are, or kind of taking some cues that they might not be great, and it might be time to sit down.
Ooh. Any particular tip or strategy that you can share with us on how someone could improve their emotional intelligence? I'm all ears for this one.
Yeah, and this is something actually we learn in coaching, some of these techniques, and they're really great tools for all of us. The first I would say is active listening. It's really critical for all of us, but especially for leaders. It shows that you care enough to stop everything you're doing solely to focus on that person or that team. And that has sort of a waterfall effect, because it makes the other person feel valued, heard, and that's motivating. And then back to the Holy Grail, that builds trust. So something that might be helpful to folks to try the next time you have a meeting, either a one-on-one or meeting with your team, these three things. First is listen intently, and that starts with do not disturb. It starts with turning your phone over, because even on do not disturb, we might be able to see those messages coming in, and just focusing solely on that person who's talking in that conversation and blocking everything else out. And also listening, mentioned it earlier, not just with your ears, but with your eyes, and sort of seeing what the body language is that other person is sharing. Because that's a huge, I think like 90% of all communication is nonverbal. And then part two would be reflecting back. So after that person's done speaking, reflect back, summarize, don't say the whole thing over, but summarize what you're hearing, what I'm hearing is, then summarize it. And then the third thing is to clarify, to say, did I get that right? Or if you didn't understand something they said, I always love this question, help me understand, and then ask for clarification.
That's a great question. You know, there's so much talk about active listening today, but I think we all think we do it, but being where our feet are planted is so critical in all communication situations. Whether I'm on the telephone with someone, I'm doing something like this virtually, or I'm in person with someone. So I think those reminders for all of us are really helpful and useful and help us to improve our own emotional intelligence and becoming more self-aware that we're not distracted by a phone or something else. So that's great. So here's another one that I think a lot of managers and even, you know, team members deal with, and that is burnout. You know, how do you recognize it and then how do you manage it? Because I do think it's one of those things, just like being in a down market, that lots of people are struggling with today.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a delicate balance, right? Because we all need to be productive. We live in a capitalist society where companies need to make money for profit. But that productivity can sometimes lead to burnout. And it's interesting how burnout presents, right? Many of us don't realize we're burned out. It presents oftentimes as we're not as patient as we usually are. Maybe we're having trouble sleeping. Maybe we don't have our usual empathy or caring towards other people. And so I think first would be to recognize it, and then would be to try to manage it or, you know, kind of combat it. And I think first it's about mindfulness. You know, there's this work-life balance. We have this duality. We have our professional life and we have our personal life. And then we have like the human being that we are, and we need downtime ourselves. So that's like a huge moving target. And it really starts with kind of checking in with ourselves on a pretty regular basis. And then I think not only for ourselves, but for our team, recognizing what the priority is, helping be able to sort of focus our time during the day at a time when we could be most productive. So I guess I would say, you know, one way to manage it is to try to manage your time, be mindful what your rhythm is. So if you're super productive in the mornings, maybe you want to focus on your meaty stuff then and do your meetings late morning or early afternoon. Learned a little trick along the way, which I didn't put into use until I was not doing well with it. And then went, wait a minute, I learned this tool. It's called creating the perfect week. So think about creating a week, take a week of your calendar and color code that week. So your focused work time is in green and your meeting time is in blue, and your, you know, even your exercise time, maybe that's a different color. Blocking that time and just saying, gosh, if nothing else impacted this, what would work for me? And try to make sure your weeks, when possible, to the extent possible, sort of mimic that perfect week. What I've found is when I'm not feeling productive or when I'm getting frustrated with things, if I look at my actual calendar that week and I compare it to the perfect week, it's not the same. And this doesn't happen automatically. We have to sort of create that framework. And I literally take 5 minutes on a Friday afternoon, look at the week ahead and try to make sure it's sort of aligned. So, you know, being able to create that perfect week and then look at your calendar and the times that maybe your week didn't go as well as you thought it would. If you're comparing back to your perfect week that you've created, oftentimes you're going to see it doesn't mirror what you sort of envisioned for that. And I know there's a lot of folks on here that are saying, I mean, we're not always in control of our destiny. And that's 100% true. But trying to create that when possible, and taking the time, you know, that framework that you could create and try to keep that balance when possible. And it really just takes like 5 minutes. I usually do it on Fridays. I look at my week ahead. And I know many on that are listening are going to say week ahead, but try like month or months ahead. You can still do that. And just try to make sure you're sort of staying in aligned when possible.
Awesome. Well, you're singing to the choir with the perfect week, because you may remember that we use that framework in our mentorship program, which is, you know, largely around how do you create your perfect sales week. So that's great that you can apply it and adapt it in so many different areas of your life. So I think when we're faced with burnout, or we're tired or exhausted or just frustrated, one of the things that might be difficult for us, whether we're the owner, the manager, a leader, or an employee, is having conversations with customers that may be feeling some of the same things that we're feeling. So any ideas or suggestions on how a leader could guide an employee in having some of those types of conversations when you're faced with a customer that's kind of feeling the same way you are?
Yeah, it's another great question. And I think, you know, what comes to mind is what we talked about earlier. It's that emotional intelligence. So first, being able to put ourselves in our client's shoes and ask some questions of ourselves.
Well,
based on, you know, how they might be feeling, such as,
yeah,
what are their top three challenges right now? What kind of pressure are they under? What might they need from us, since really we're here to serve them? And then, you know, just like in coaching, we ask questions, basically ask our clients, acknowledge where things are right now. Things have been pretty stressful. The market's pretty crazy. How are you doing? And then actively listening to that feedback they're going to give, because feeling heard and talking through something, just talking out loud, often leads to discoveries and ideas. So for your clients, that consistency of you being there for them in the times that are hard and the times that are wonderful, being that trusted partner, showing them you're not just there, you know, in the boom times, is going to continue to build that trust as well.
Yeah, great. You know, it's so interesting, because I think something just came to mind for me, and I think humor sometimes can be a great way to, you know, diffuse things like that. I remember a situation years ago when I was in one of those bad spaces and was probably just complaining, you know, when I was talking with someone, and his response to me, which I've never forgotten, was, "So, Anne, have you always been like this, or is this just since the house fell on your sister?"
Love it.
We knew each other well, so it was okay for him to say something like that to me, but it snapped me right out of it. And I realized, whoa, I'm coming across in a really, you know, unpleasant way. But anyway, so I just thought I'd share that with you, because it came to mind when you were talking about this. So cool. All right. Well, I think lastly, the thing that I wanted to talk to you about was, I know that you specialize in difficult and influential conversations in your practice. So can you share some tips for handling these kinds of conversations?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're related, they're cousins, but they're slightly different. For difficult conversations, I think a lot of folks approach it's only human, is to avoid it completely,
yeah.
which often isn't helpful. So I think one way to combat that desire to kind of, you know, sweep it under the rug is to do some planning. And also to acknowledge your emotions. A lot of times these difficult conversations have a lot of emotions wrapped around it. So process them, wait until you've done that and you sort of pass that. And then you can really get to work to determine, you know, again, another question, what's the goal you're trying to achieve here? And then use those emotional intelligence muscles, flex those muscles, put yourself in that other person's shoes and ask yourself, like, what do things look like from their vantage point? What makes that person tick? What's their personality type? This all really drives the how you would approach them. And yeah, I think a lot of the time we don't fully appreciate or realize that other person's point of view or what might be going on that we don't know. So asking those questions and using that approach really can help us learn, and then it informs our next steps. And then listening is key, right? So using those active listening skills, and then lastly, anticipating, like, what objections, how do you think this is going to go? And what objections might this person have, or what roadblocks might there be? Just to think through those ahead of time. Then the second part of your question, the influential conversations, really similar. Process emotions first, start with a goal, ask yourself what the goal is, take time to plan it out, ask questions and actively listen, and then think through those roadblocks. But the influential conversations are really things like you might be wanting a different position, you might be advocating for an initiative, you might have a new boss that you're having that first meeting with, or a sale that you're trying to get. Those are the influential conversations.
Thank you for making that distinction, because I was trying to figure out what the difference was, even though both words obviously speak for themselves. But yeah, really great information. So, well, Allison, as you know, we like to get a bottom line on our show. But before I ask you about the bottom line here, can you take a minute to just tell our audience, for those that might be interested in connecting with you or learning more about your coaching practice, how they could reach out or connect with you?
Yes, and thanks for that, Anne. My website is www.forefrontcoach.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn. Just search for Allison Gareffa. You can find me there.
Awesome. Great. Well, thanks. I hope those some of our audience will reach out and connect with you. That's great. So we've come to the bottom line. So what's the bottom line on coaching that you'd like to leave our audience with?
Yeah, it's such a good one. Coaching, I think, is a partnership. It helps folks think differently. It's really, think of it as an investigative process to identify and challenge assumptions that we may have. Coaches they're not the experts. You are the expert. We're not advice givers, or shouldn't typically be advice givers. We're here to help you discover and grow, by finding the answers within yourself. So, not only, I would say, bottom line is, not only do you benefit from coaching, but so do those around you, because you show up differently. And I want to thank you again, Anne. This has just been a wonderful time today to talk about this.
It has been for me as well. So many enlightening takeaways for me. And it's so great to have an opportunity to spend some time with you and to learn from you as well. So I want to say thank you again, and hopefully we'll have you back to talk a little bit more, because there's lots more we could unpack, I think, on a variety of these topics. So again, thank you so much, Allison. Really appreciate your time. And to our audience, thank you again for joining us. And as Allison said, if you'd like to reach out to her, feel free. Connect with her on LinkedIn or check out her website. And until we meet again, let's hope that we can all learn, grow, and prosper. Thank you.